We're talking about the right hand of the Father. We're talking about our right to be a partaker of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not of this world. Jesus said, you're not of this world, but you're in it. If you're not of this world, then you can partake of the kingdom. So I want to show you something about the Lord you might not have seen. We're going to look at some aspects of his role to us as believers, because a lot of times people view Jesus as their Savior, and they stop at the gate of salvation, and he is your Savior. He is there to bring you into salvation, but that's not where you were designed to stop and camp. You were designed to come into the fullness of God, and we have to make that journey. That's where your hunger and your thirst is for. You ever wonder what your hunger is for? Well, yeah, I want more of God. Okay, well, what does that look like? Where is that? How do you get to more of God? You understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to run through some scriptures here, as I did Thursday, and then I'm going to try to take this one step further. So I'm going to read about six or seven scriptures from John. I want you to see something in the Lord's ministry. We're going to begin in John chapter 5, and I want you to see something about him. Now, remember, when he says all this, he is, was, and still is the Son of God, but he did not come to represent himself in his first mission. And it's very important to understand that. So look at John chapter 5, verse 19. Answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, when he says verily, verily, that means, listen, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. What things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, the Son could have done everything in himself. He had that power, but he did not come to represent himself. And because of that, he came to represent another. He actually came to represent the world to the Father and the Father to the world. And that's crucially important to understand his role in bringing us to the Father, because that's what he wants. He wants you to come to the Father. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. Say that again. I hear and I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. You see now, he says, I didn't come to represent myself. And because I did not, I don't come in my own strength or my own power. I can do nothing of myself. I don't do anything except the will of him who sent me. Look at chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 15. And the Jews, verse 15, marveled, saying, how knowest this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered and said, my doctrine is not mine. Wow, you have to understand the significance of what he said. My doctrine is not mine, but it's his that sent me. Now, is Jesus the Word? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him, there was nothing made. And the Word became flesh. But then he stands here and says, my doctrine is not my own. Yet he's the Word. That'll baffle you. The reason he did that is he laid his entire position as the Son of God down to represent. He laid the authority, better word to say, and he came to represent another. And in representing another, he did not represent himself. That's incredibly important. I'm going to tell you as we go along why that that's important. To understand his message and his mission was not to leave you at the gate of salvation. This is where the church is leaving 99% of the body of Christ right now. We either come into the gates of salvation, we get some knowledge of him, we operate in the gifts, but we don't make it to where God wanted us to go. We're not arriving at our destination. We're arriving at the destination of salvation. We're swimming in pools of visitation, but we're not coming into the fullness of what God wanted, because we don't understand what it is he wanted. But we're understanding now. Amen. Now look at verse 28, John 7. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know from where I am. I am not come of myself. You see that? Pretty clear. But he that sent me is true, and I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. If he keeps repeating, I guess he wants you to know that. As my Father has taught me, I speak these things. I am not representing myself. So let me ask you a question. When you're saved, who's he representing? Look at verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came of myself, but he sent me. And because he sent me, I'm bearing a message from him. And when we get the message right, then God's going to back it with the power of the gospel. I'm going to tell you something right now. The church does not have the message right. I'm going to tell you something. He did not come to just save you. Salvation was to open a door. He came to reconcile you through the cross, through Christ, unto the Father. In fact, Jesus, his entire mission was to introduce you to the Father. But the Father would allow none. He said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man tries to go around Jesus, if any man tries to go around the truth and go up another way, God says, no. I want the world to come unto me. But they're going to have to come through the Son. And he that honoreth the Son, honoreth me. And what we're going to learn and what we're learning to do is how to come unto the Father through the Son. Amen? This is why he did not come to represent himself. And when you come to him, he is going to introduce you to another if you'll come to him properly and understand what his mission, his message, and his role is. Yes, he comes to represent God, and you have to meet him first. That is by where you're saved. But you're not just a sinner saved by grace, as we know around here. There's no way that you can be a sinner saved by grace and enter into the Father's presence. That will not inherit the kingdom. You were a sinner, but now you're a son. Amen? John 14:10 says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Pretty amazing, huh? But moreover, the Father that dwelleth in me, he's doing the works. That means that the power of God that was manifesting through him was coming by way of the Father. Jesus was not operating in his own authority as the Son of God. He was operating in the Father's authority, and the Father sent him to speak something to the human race. That I am ready to bring the human race back in to fullness of restoration, fullness of my glory, God to wit was reconciling the world through Christ unto himself. It's not going to complete until we learn to come fully back into the Father. You know where we're at? The whole church is in Christ. Everyone say amen to that. Thank God we're in Christ. Where we got to get to is he's got to bring us now to the Father. And that means liftoff. That means resurrection life. You were dead with him, buried with him in baptism. He buried the old man, the one you inherited from Adam. That's why he said, no man after the flesh, because that man was buried. When you came out, he raised you together with him. He raised you somewhere. He put you somewhere. He just didn't raise you. Well, I was raised. Okay, where were you raised to? I'm not sure. You were raised all the way up there with him. He took you all the way into the right hand of the Father with him. Raised together, seated together. Everyone say together. In heavenly places. Here's the thing about God. He requires you believe it. You can't go there. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is. You cannot come to the Father except by faith. You couldn't come to the Son except by faith. You had to come to the Lord. How many have come to the Lord in here? I should have said who has not. Then we'd have a salvation altar call. How were you introduced to Jesus? That's right. We were introduced to the Lord. We come to him by faith. He's going to take the same faith and bring you to the Father. Because you cannot go to the Father outside of faith. And the Father requires you believe it. Now, when you come to the Father, you're going to experience some things that the Lord thought worth dying for. I didn't realize how awesome he was or he is. I now realize why he died in our place. He didn't die just to bring you to the gate of salvation. He died to give you something he had with the Father for all eternity. Now go to John 17. I don't know that we're going to unravel John 17 in this lifetime, because I think there's about umpteen levels of revelation in it, but we're going to do our best. Amen. John 17, look at verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. You know what he's talking about there? Glorify thy Son. He's actually asking the Father to bring him back in to where he was before he became a man. He said, bring me back, Father, into that place that I hold with you as the Son. Now, when you actually start coming into this place and you start experiencing the love of the Father that comes from this place, you'll know why it's so precious. The preciousness of the Father's love is unmatched by anything you're ever going to find here, and probably anything you're going to find in heaven. The Father's love is so great that words can't, you have to experience it, because words alone can't convey it. I'm not going to get you to connect to my words, but if I can get you to connect to him, you will connect to him with tangible experience. Amen? Now watch this. Look at verse 5. And now, Father. God, he loved the Father. I love the Father. I want to be with him more and more and more and more. He's so lovely. There's none like him. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with a glory which I had with you before the world was. You see that? He knew it was time to go to the cross, and he wanted to come back into the glory of the Father. Does anybody have a problem with that? Now here's the deal. He wanted to bring you with him. Not just when you get saved and go home to be with the Lord. He wanted to bring with him now. This is a hard thing, because we get taught a perception of God, see, in the church. And we go to church all our life and say, well, I never heard that before. What do you mean? I know I'm going to be going home with him in glory. No, you're seated with him in glory now. But to come and experience what he's already given you positionally, you'll have to go into that through the Son. You have to go through him by faith, and you're going to have to know a little bit about what he said to you. And some of the most hidden things is the access gates to the loveliest person you're ever going to meet. His love is so beautiful and so glorious. He'll change you so fast. He'll remove your spot and wrinkle. I think I had a session with him the other day. I had post right hand depression. I went so far into him. It was Thursday, actually, that when I went to my normal place on Friday where I'm fellowshipping with him, which is really good, is difference of night and day. I said, how vast are you, God? I encountered something with him when I went into this room that left my jaw dropped. And I was speechless, and I laid for 3 hours in the bed in the afternoon before the service. I just laid there in utter, you ever been in a place where you're just so undone, you're going, you're speechless. You ever been on one of those rides, and after they just jerk you around, you're going, oh my God. That's what, it was just incredible. The love of God is, there's an intensity to him. It's amazing. I know why men lay their life down. Freely, they'd lay it down for that. And this is what Jesus, he goes, I want to come back, Father. It's time. He goes, I go to the Father. He wanted to return. I came from the Father. I want to return. Verse 13. Now he's praying here. This is the last prayer on the earth, by the way. 11 men are in the room. I'm going to tell you something. You only think this world has something to offer. This world's fallen world. You don't know that because it offers you so much. And after you eat of it, you eat of the system, you find out there's nothing there. Everyone strives for Hollywood or strives for this. And when they get there, look at their life. There's nothing there. It's emptiness and there's destruction. And the enemy says, oh, come strive after this. Look what I have. And they come into that and there's nothing there. Do you ever find God? The Father. I'm not talking about church and I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about connecting with the purpose for which he gave his son for you. He gave his son so you could come to him. And more importantly, the son is going to give you something, a container, if you will, that could contain the love of the Father. He would give you a reservoir when he recreated your spirit. To the law of the spirit of life and made you a new creation. He gave you a reservoir that could contain his love. That's what he wanted. He wanted to touch you with the love of heaven. I'm not talking about the love that we say, hey, love you, brother. I'm talking about we love and hold. That's social love. I'm talking about a love that's not of this world. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 100 years old. Every part of your being was designed to respond in fullness to the perfection of God's love. But you got to know where it's at. God will come to you here in visitation, but you're not going to get God's love to come fall on you daily here. It's not going to happen. That's not the way he designed it. He requires you come to him through the Son. You're going to have to make a journey called faith. And that's what your faith was given to you for, to come and experience him. Amen. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, Father. Now come. I'm coming back, Father. You read it a whole lot different when you're there. I'm coming back. I get to come back to you, Father. When you ever meet him, you're not going to want to be with anybody else. I can assure you that. And these things I speak in the world, verse 13, the day might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Father, I want them to experience what I have with you. I came here for this purpose, that I could bring them. You glorify me, Father, back into the place, but I'm bringing them with me. Look at verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me. He wants you actually to believe this now. He's going to bring a level of demonstration that you're going to know he's going to back the message. But he actually would like you to believe it without having to see all that. But to the world, he's going to bring a level of creative miracles and demonstration that'll be so undeniable because he's going to back the message for which his son came into the earth. God backs the message, see. When he brings that level of creative demonstration, God's going to bring that level of creative demonstration that's going to confirm the word. But God would rather you just believe it now. Amen. Now watch this. Verse 22, and the glory, Father. What glory? The glory of verse 5. Look at verse 5 again. And now, O Father, you know my spirit wants to run through the New Testament with you. Because he's running it through. But he said, be very patient. And I want them to get this. I want to run through new stuff. He said, I want them to get this. He said, go slow with it. He says, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now look at verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, and the glory which you gave me, the glory that I had with you before the world was, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them now, Father. I've given it to them, the place that I hold with you. You know what he's saying? He hadn't actually even gone to the cross yet, but he's already moving through the cross into the place where he's going to be after the cross, and he's going to open that way. And in the cross, see, God reconciled to you through himself. And the way he did that is he took upon that fallen nature and he buried that when he was buried. And when he was raised in resurrection life, that same resurrection power raised your dead spirit to life, and it was sat him at the right hand of the Father. He sat you right there with him. Your spirit is seated in a kingdom that's not of this world. And to get to that kingdom, God requires faith to activate. But it's a very real place, a very real experience. And the greatest part of that kingdom, greater than the lightnings and the thunders and the angels, greater than all of it, is the love of the Father. It's the greatest force in all of the universe. The glory that I have, you have given me, I've given them. That they may be one, Father, as we are. I'm going to bring them into me, and then I'm going to bring them to you. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know thou hast sent me and has loved them as you've loved me. They're going to know the same love wherewith you have loved me, Father. Now, when he says that, he actually wants to bring you into the tangible love of the Father. He wants to bring you into that place. In fact, he already brought you. He was the high priest that passed through the veil. You passed with him, whether you know it or not. You don't really need to wait till you get to heaven to find out what he did for you 2,000 years ago. Because you're missing the whole heart of the gospel here. Amen? I want to go over to Hebrews chapter 8 for a minute. I want to look at verse 1. Now Jesus took the role as your brother in Hebrews chapter 2. He said he was not ashamed to be called your brother. Because he took that role. Well, go to Hebrews 2 real quick. Hebrews 2 verse 10. For it became him, verse 10, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. You were a son brought into glory. You were brought into the Father. The Father is the glory. Jesus said in John 16, he goes, if you love me, you would rejoice, because I go to the Father. For the Father's greater than I am. Jesus said that. Because if you love me, you would rejoice to hear that I'm leaving you. Now let me ask you a question. Let's say you're a disciple. And let's say you're the 11 in that upper room, right? And let's say that Jesus is starting to tell you, I'm leaving. How didn't that make you feel? You've been running around with him. They think they're going to make him a king in the earth. Now he says, I'm leaving you. Now how's that going to make them feel? And he's telling them, this is my last supper with you. And he says, if you love me, you would rejoice. Because I said I go to my Father, for he's greater than I. I'm thinking, why would that make me happy? Okay, you're leaving me and you're going to somebody greater than you. What about me? You're still leaving. How would that comfort me in any way if you love me? Oh, yeah, okay, Lord, let's just have a party right now. I'll rejoice. Let's just get up and dance. You're leaving, going to somebody greater and still leaving us. He said, you would rejoice because my Father is greater than I. You know what he was saying? Oh, you got to get this. He said, if you think walking with me in the earth for 3.5 years of being with me in relationship is something, wait until I go to the Father. Because when I go to the Father, I'm going to come back and get you. And when I come back and get you, I'm going to introduce you to him. And if you think walking with me for 3.5 years was something, wait till I set you with him in heavenly places. You're going to experience something you couldn't even get with me walking 3.5 years on the earth. I'm going to introduce you to him. For hitherto, right now, you can't know him because you have nothing in you that can inherit him or contain his love. But I'm going to go change that. I'm going to purchase a law, the law of the spirit of life. And when I go down into hell, I'm going to take your old fallen man with me. And when I'm raised from the dead, he's going to raise you with me into the right hand of the Father. And then I am going to present you before him, and that he is going to love you the way he's loved me for all eternity past. You're going to experience what I have with him. Oh! That, my friend, is reality. That is not some by and by. That is why he came to die for you. I did not come to represent myself. I didn't come so you could camp at the gate of salvation in your life. I came to bring you to the Father. It became him, Hebrews 2:10. For whom are all things and by whom? In bringing many sons unto glory. Verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth, that's Jesus, and they who are sanctified, that's you, are all of one. And Amplified got this one right. One Father. First thing Jesus did when he came out of the grave, Mary was standing there. He said, Mary, Mary. She perked up. He said, Mary, go tell my brethren. Don't touch me. I haven't ascended to the Father. But go tell my brethren. First thing he says when he comes out of the grave, I ascend to my Father. I ascend to your Father. I ascend to your Father. I ascend to my God now and to your God. I'm now a mediator between heaven and earth. I am a high priest that passed through the heavens, and I've sat down at the right hand of the Father. I am your intercessor. I am your high priest, and I am your mediator now to help you through the journey now to come to him, to give you what I've held with him. And once you ever taste that, my friend, you will never, ever, ever be the same. The way you taste that is you allow this word, in particularly the word of the right hand, John, Hebrews, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Psalms, you let this word build a compass. See, if all your compass is 5-minute quiet time with the Lord, even if you got a compass for that, well, I got to get my 5-minute quiet time with God. What are you going to get? You're going to get 5 minutes worth of quiet time. You're going to read a word that means very little to you because you got to get on with your life. I got to get on with life. Do you realize you're living in a dead world, a system that is dead? You won't know it's dead until you start living in his system. When you start living in his glory, you'll start seeing the earth is dead. That's why he can promise you everything and deliver nothing. The world is full of empty promises. Come and eat to partake of my system. And when you do, you end up empty. Because it's a fallen system. When you eat of the Father and partake of the kingdom, you're partaking of the altar. For they which served the tabernacle had no right to eat. You know why? The tabernacle couldn't have liftoff. They could not get liftoff. The tabernacle couldn't put you with the Father, in the Father, in heavenly places. The tabernacle was of the earth. You have a right to eat from an altar that they that served the tabernacle in the old had no right to eat from. Because your altar's in the heavenlies now. That's just hard to get. It's hard for religious people to see that. It's like, that just doesn't register with my religiosity. God, as I come to church, I do my thing. And I have my life. No, 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 no. You are dead. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things that are above, for you are dead to the system of this world. That happened when you were born again. You died. You can keep trying to eat from a fallen system. It'll never work. Your life is hidden with Christ in the Father. I think I want to go eat. Now, how do I get there? That's the universal question. Okay, I see it. It's mine. How do I get there? Glad you asked. You need a mediator. You need a teacher. Holy Spirit is your teacher. Jesus is your mediator. Holy Spirit's going to teach you as long as you're teachable. Jesus is your mediator. He is your high priest, and he is your intercessor. And he ever liveth to make intercession at the right hand of the Father. He's ever living to make the intercession. See, ever living. What kind of intercessions he's making for you? Well, I'm interceding for them to have a good life, Father, on the earth. For I came that they may have life and life more abundantly. You know, the problem with that is we read that from a carnal perspective. Oh, he's come that I might have life here and have more money. Listen, the blessings of the first covenant went into the second covenant. God has no problem with blessing you. But if you think that Jesus came out of heaven to come tell you he's going to give you abundant life by eating from a fallen system, are you kidding me? How dumb can we get and still breathe? Give me a Pentecostal break. I come to get my life and life more abundantly. The blessing is, it went from the first to the second. That's not the issue. The abundant life, I think it had something to do with you going into the Father. As the Father had life in himself, he gave the Son to have life in himself, the Son to execute the judgment upon your fallen nature, where you could come and receive of the Father's life that flows from the heavenlies. I've come that you might have life. Do you really think you're going to find life eating from a dead system? It hasn't worked in the last 20 years. Why do we keep thinking this system's going to do something? Well, I know this time it's going to do something for me. It doesn't. It'll fail you every time. It's not there. I used to want God to give me a big, big ministry. Begged him to do it. Asked him. Sought him. Fasted. Prayed hard. But I wanted all that for something for me because I thought something was real glorious being up there in that realm, you know. Being on the circuit. Being used of the Father, you know. Be amazed when you get with him how he kind of washes all that stuff down. And you find out nothing's there. Nothing. It's still empty. Without him, it's all empty. What level of accumulation of the things of this world system are you going to get to ever make you happy? It's never made you happy before. You think something bigger is going to somehow complete you? It's definitely not. The abundant life is in him. But if we don't ever get to him, you know what we are? A crucified people. How many of you ever been crucified? How many of you ever suffered for the Lord? If all we do is suffer for the Lord and we don't get lift off, we are of all men most miserable. If there be no resurrection, we are all men most miserable. Because all I'm going to do is suffer for the Lord here. And I can't come and partake of a kingdom that's not of this world. Hey, listen, we are first class sufferers around here. Mortification. We have been mortified. The winnowing fork, baptism, fire, furnace of affliction. Test, trials, tribulation. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That means I've given you a place that's higher than that system. I set you far above. You can come and partake of my kingdom. Man, my faith never could get left off, so all I ever did was get crucified. You're crucified with Christ. Crucified, well, I got to be deader. That was our compass, see. I got to die more. If I want more God, I got to die more. Want more God? You know, if you want to get close to God, you're going to give that TV away. What am I going to do? Go buy 20 TVs and give them away one at a time? Is that going to get me closer to God? Well, I give that TV away. Let's go buy another one and give it away. That can't get you closer to God. You're not going to get closer to God here. Now, what he does in that mortification process is corrals the part of you that gets distracted here so you'll get liftoff. You're going to have to launch into resurrection life. You're going to have to plug into resurrection life with your faith. So your faith grabs it and releases. Now, I'm going to spend 5 minutes here sharing with some things that are crucially important. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I need to show you this. You're going to run into some walls once you or if you ever decide to approach the Father. All right? That means when you're trying to go to God, like, how do I do that in the first place? You have to find out what he said about you first. If you don't know where you're going, you have no compass. So if you have 5 minute quiet time, where are you going in that quiet time? What are you going to do? Where is your compass? If my compass is to spend time with God, that's what you're going to do. Spend time. If your compass is set, I'm going to the right hand of the Father to be loved of the Father, well, then you're going to get higher because your compass is set higher. If you don't have no compass, you won't go where you have no compass. You have to have a compass so the Word and people like me set your compass. And then when you go and you decide you're going to do it, I'm going to the Father. Okay, how do I do this? First thing I do is present myself before the Lord. He is my mediator, my intercessor. He's mediating between the Father and me. He's the one that I have to go through him. And so what I do is I ask forgiveness, all that, wash me, cleanse me in the blood. So I'm presenting myself to him. Now, he's going to present you to the Father. That's very important. Now, when you go to God, you're going to hit some walls when you're not used to this. All right? You need to know those walls have not been constructed by the Father, even though the devil will make you think they have been. When you hit the wall, anybody ever hit the wall when you go to pray? When you hit the wall, it's that unseen barrier. I can't get there. And you give up. You quit. Listen, the only thing that's going to get you through that wall is not more works or more desire. Desire alone won't get you through that wall. Only faith will get you through the wall. You're going to have to build your faith in what he said. The Word will build the faith. I'm talking the Word of the right hand of the Father. If you really want to experience the Father, you're going to have to sow that Word in you. Listen, day in, day out. Fill your spirit because that Word will eventually break you through the wall. But here's some very important things you need to know, because first thing the devil's going to do is remind you of you. He's going to tell you why you're not qualified to go in to the Father. Right? So let me ask you a question. When in this life are you ever going to be good enough to qualify in your mind that the Father will accept you? Well, when I quit yelling at my husband. When I quit doing this, quit doing that. So you think that that's going to be enough then? Father's going to accept you because you're Mary Poppins. You got a Mary Poppins. You just all pristine, so, oh, come on up. There's never a time, because that's not the part of you he's accepting. There's never a part of you can be good enough. The high priest couldn't even go in through the veil. So you think you'll find something in your flesh that's going to be pristine enough for God to accept you? He accepts one thing, the new creation. You are a new creation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's the only part that God's going to accept. That's the one that's seated with God. That's the one that God accepts. Here's a few things you need to know. Ephesians 1 verses 6. to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Everyone say, I am accepted in the beloved. That's going to mean a whole lot to you when you get in front of your wall and all of a sudden you're reminded of all your guilt, shame, condemnation, your whole life. I can't get through because God's not accepting me. God does not think like that. He accepts you because he's accepting the new creation that is forever perfected. And your faith is going to have to apply. Because if it doesn't, all of a sudden, well, and Chuck and I got in this conversation yesterday. When God comes over you, you get these feelings, oh, I'm so unworthy. Don't do that. That doesn't please him. You think it does. Oh, Father, I'm so unworthy of you. That does not please him at all. You think it does, but that does not please him. And I'll tell you why it doesn't please him. You start acting unworthy. Oh, God, I'm just not worthy, Father. Because when his presence overwhelms you, you'll start feeling like that. If you are not worthy, you're telling him your blood, Jesus, was not enough. It just wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough, Father. And the Father said, no. You start acting like that, you won't go in there very long. That kind of unbelief, the Father himself will stop you. Because you're not honoring the Son. He that honoreth the Son honors the Father. But if you don't honor the sacrifice, my Son died for you. To make you worthy to stand in my presence. And you stand by what he did for you. He shed his blood. And he requires you respect the Son. Even when you feel unworthy. That's unbelief. That is not faith. God, he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. You're going to have to come by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure. You don't come into the Father's presence with unworthiness. How do you know that? I'm closing. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Where are you falling from? Him? What do you think God's about? It's always this upward pull. Unless you check out. And when you check out, you're going to be miserable. You know why? Because you were designed to launch into the Father. It's hard to listen to this stuff sometimes, I'm telling you. Hebrews, Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you, watch this, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He presents you faultless. He does not hold your past. He doesn't even hold your problems in your soul or your body. Because the part that he's presenting is the new creation. I present the new creation, Father, to you. They're born of me. I'm not ashamed, Father, to call them brethren. I was the firstborn. I brought them into my position now, Father. What I've held with you for eternity, I have freely given this. And now I present them before you to be loved the way you love me. That's tangible love, my friend. That's just not some pie in the sky. That's real stuff that flows there. That's stuff that'll transform you overnight. You'll come out of there and go, I'm not the same person that I was this morning. What happened in there? I like it. I love it. I love it. I want more of it. One more and I'll let you go. This is probably one of the greatest scriptures you're going to need. Because the biggest veil you're going to need is your own unbelief. To get to the Father, your unbelief will try to tell you you're not good enough. Shame, something, God's not accepting me, started to remind you of your faults. He is not presenting you with your faults. He presents you faultless. You got to know that, or you're not going in. Because God requires faith for you to go in. You have to have faith in what Jesus did for you to get to him. He that honoreth the Son, I'll honor him. If you don't honor what the Son did, you're not making it to him. You're going to be one of those that sits at the gate of salvation all your life. And when you get the glory, you're going to see what you missed. and everything that was going to come out of that room, because visiting is only one part. There's something God's going to give you, and in there you're going to take back to the earth. And when God's about to give us a mantle out of the right hand of the Father, we get a mantle from the right hand of the Father. We get something called a commission. We get a commission. We come back. Oh, I'm with you now. What you say, you're not representing yourself. You're representing the right hand now. And I will back you with signs, wonders, miracles, demonstration, creative miracles. The blind, the deaf, the lame, the maimed, the tormented, the insane, bipolar, manic, depressive, the ones that come in and go out, come in and go out, come in and go out. They're not going to be coming in and going out like that anymore. Colossians 1:20. I can't get off these scriptures. I use them every day. When I go, no, he presents me faultless. He presents me faultless. Even when I know in myself, not even the devil's reminding me, I already know. Even when I know me, I'm like, oh my God, you have no right. But you have to remind yourself you do have a right. I have to remind myself, Jesus, I have to tell him, you got to present me faultless. And having made peace, verse 20, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile, by through Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, the Father. Verse 21, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He's brought you all the way to the Father. He did not reconcile you to the cross. He reconciled you to himself. He reconciled you through the cross. That's the problem. We stop with the cross. Well, he reconciled me to the cross, so you're going to live crucified for the rest of your life then. You're going to be miserable. He reconciled me through the cross all the way up into the right hand of the Father, see. Yes. Now get this. This is my final close. Verse 22. In the body of his flesh, he buried your old man in the body of his flesh. Stay with me. One verse. To present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Jesus is presenting you before the Father as holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. You got to know that when you're going in. You better have that scripture as a part of your armory. Because believe me right now, the enemy is going to remind you of who you were. Who you are. When you come out of the love of the Father, you will be so like him. Do you think you're going to get perfected here? With what? What are you going to get perfected with? You had to get to the love of the Father so he can perfect you there. But he perfected enough of you to get there. And you can go home and read about that. Hebrews 10, chapter 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. You are forever perfected as a new creature. And that gave you the passport to come into his glory, where then his love could perfect your spot and wrinkle. If you think you're going to find perfection here, have at it. It won't work. We've been carrying the same problems we carried 20 years ago. The church looks about the same as it looked 40 years ago. It's just somebody saying it different. Until we get into the Father, we're not going to see the level of transformation that's going to bring heaven down. And that's what God's looking for. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him. I love him so much. Father, what a privilege to speak on your behalf. What a privilege to speak on the behalf of this room, of this place that you've given us. Jesus, how can we ever say thanks for what you've given us. You shared your glory with us. You've given us the place that you've held with the Father, that we could experience the joy that you've had with him for all eternity. Let that now become reality with the sons and daughters. Lift us into resurrection life. As we were buried with you, let us be raised. Let us tap into the resurrection. You are the resurrection, Jesus, that brings us all the way to the Father. We are family in the heavenlies. We're family in the heavenlies. Lift, remove the blockages. Remove the hindrances. Remove the veils. For you are a high priest and passed through the veil. And we passed there with you. We went through the veil with you. We are citizens of heaven. We are partakers of the heavenly calling. In your mighty name, Jesus, your glory is resting. Set that compass within them. Set it within them, Jesus. In your mighty name. Amen, amen.